Standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good things that you give to us in our lives. And we pray this morning that now as we turn to your word, you would help us all to see something more of your great love for us. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do you take a seat? Now, a couple of years ago, someone went out amongst a group of young people in London with a microphone and recorded their answers to the question, "What is love?" And this is what they said. So there was no sound. We'll get there.
Being excited to see someone.
Love. When you feel safe with someone.
Love is when you find something that makes you happy no matter what you do or what situation you're in.
Companionship. Obviously at a physical level as well. Sort of something to share your life with, I suppose, isn't it?
Really? It's okay.
All right. Love to me is a frequency of existence that we can all achieve independently of another person, and it's like a state of mind of existence, and I think people use it to express how they feel about maybe another person or a thing or something they'd like to do.
It's just like a natural human emotion, isn't it?
Okay, well, that's a variety of different things that people said they thought love was. And I guess we might recognise some of those a bit more than others. Some of them trying to be quite philosophical, others of them just trying to be sort of fairly straight about what they thought. And I guess with Valentine's Day being on the horizon, some of us might agree with some of it. And some of those thoughts that were expressed there, I guess those of us who come to celebrate little Evelyn's arrival, and is something that we would want to express as we think of love for her, and so on. Well, over recent weeks, we've been realising here at All Saints Church that if we're to really understand what the true God is like, well, then we need him to show us, because we can't work it out for ourselves. Our minds are too limited, and in fact, in various ways, our minds are closed to him. We need God to come and show himself to us, and he has done that wonderfully, particularly revealing himself to us through the Bible and what that points to. We've seen in the last couple of weeks or so that God is the God who has formed everything. He is the God who has made us human beings at the very pinnacle of what he has made, in his image. And last week we saw that God is worthy of praise and deserves our thanksgiving. Well, this morning we're considering what it is to say, as the Bible does, that God is love. Now, this could be something that's very easy to take for granted, because it's very easy to say that God is love or that God loves you and not really appreciate quite what it means. Well, this morning, to help us with that, we had a reading which is said by many to include the most famous words in the whole of the Bible. You often see banners at big football matches or at concerts with these words on them, or posters, sometimes just with the numbers of the verse and the chapter. Indeed, if you Google 3:16, these words come up. They come from John chapter 3. See them there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's have a go at saying that again, those words together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, Jesus has just been talking to a very religious individual, a guy called Nicodemus, who surprisingly didn't understand what is most important about God and his work in the world. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, what does it mean that God so loved the world? Does it mean do you like to hold that for me? Can you hold that for me? Does it mean that God loves the mountains and the scenery? Well, of course he does. He made it after all, and he's made it so that we might enjoy it. But that's not what the world means here. It seems to mean more the people of this world. But does it mean that God loves the people of this world because we're sort of beautiful people, lovable, and deserve his love all the time? Is that what it means? Do you want to hold that one for me? You could hold that one for me. Do you think that's what it means? Well, no, because throughout the book of John, the word world means the people of this world, you and me, but the people of this world who have turned away from God, the people of this world who have hurt God, the people of this world who have damaged his once perfect world, the people of this world who have been self-centered and damaged others, so often forgetting about the God who has made us and given us so much. So actually, the people of this world are so often like that when it comes to God. Just kind of keep your distance. Actually, I don't want you to be too close. Can you hold that one for us? Jesus said in the reading, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. See, God has provided so much for us, the people of this world, that is good. God shines his loving goodness, but all of us move away from him. We move away from his good light, and instead we prefer darkness, life without him. And that means that we are all, as people of this world, guilty. Now, I don't know whether anyone's ever had to go to a court of law, but you know, if you go to a court of law, you might have to see a prisoner. And it's not a prisoner, somebody who's kind of up there before the judge and jury. And you find out that they have actually committed the crime that they're there for. And the judge, he or she says, sums up what's going on, puts their wig on and says, you are guilty. You've committed the crime and you deserve this kind of punishment. Well, when we stand before God, we will all be found guilty. To use Jesus' word in the reading, we're all guilty of we deserve to be condemned, to receive the just punishment because we turned away from God who is pure and good and right. And we're so often very much unlike that. And the just punishment, according to the words here, are that we will perish. That is, we'll be away from God's good light and instead know only darkness. Now, they're very serious words. Here they are in the most famous verse in the Bible about the love of God. But they're there because without understanding them, which they're true, but if we don't understand them, we won't see why God's love is so amazing. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God loving is not an easy thing. It is pretty easy, isn't it, to love someone, a family member or a friend, when they want to be loved, or when they're good to you in return. Love is put to the test when someone doesn't want to receive your love or is very ungrateful towards what you give to them. Well, God has offered his love, but we, the people of this world, reject him. We prefer darkness to light, and that causes such a mess in the process. And yet, God so loved the unlovely people of the world. But how do we know that? How do we know that he loved us? Well, it is because, as Jesus said, he gave his only son. God has given to us, ungrateful people of this world, the most precious gift that he had to give. And that is his son. Jesus, the one who from before the world began was with God the Father and with God the Holy Spirit. The one who was God from the very beginning. Jesus, the always existing Son, who has become a human being and lived as light in this dark world. God has come himself, and he's come into this broken world at huge cost to himself to put things right. So how amazing is that love? And it is especially amazing when we think what Jesus' life was like. Now, all of us know something about the life of Jesus. We know that he lived a life where he taught and he did miracles, he helped people, and yet so often he was rejected, he was abused, and of course eventually he ended up being unjustly killed. God loved the world so much that even though we are unlovely and have treated him so badly, he gave his son to death in order to draw people back to himself. In God's amazing love, that death of Jesus is the way that he can bring us back. Just before what we read in John chapter 3, we hear these words: the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus was talking about his death on the cross. And it's as he died on the cross that God was able to start to put things right. Just hold that for us. You see, when Jesus died, he was absorbing the darkness of the world into himself. He was taking away the sins of the world. Jesus was dealing with the price of our turning away from God. So we read, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." That's why God sent him. He wants people to be rescued and benefit from what he has done for us. Jesus took the just penalty that others deserved. He died so that others might not perish. So do you see something more now of the vast, amazing extent of the love of God? Love that is not just a feeling, not just a state of mind, not just something that makes you feel good, not just a natural emotion. God gave his very self to help the people of this world, even though we don't deserve it. But there is something else, just one other thing, in that famous verse that we need to remember. Something that shows that receiving this amazing love from God is not an automatic thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I saw a video clip once of a man standing on a London street by a tube station, and he was giving out small pieces of paper. You see that kind of thing quite often. Now, virtually everybody ignored this man. Only later did you see that the pieces of paper were actually £5 notes. A really good gift was on offer, but very, very few seemed to receive it. Well, in order to enjoy the benefits of the gift that God offers us in Jesus, we need to receive it. We need to hold out our hands and as it were, shake hands on it. Say to God, "Yes, I want this to be true for me. I need it to be true." Just hold that one up for us. We need to believe in Jesus, to come to him recognizing that we are those in whom there is darkness and we need his light, that we are those who have darkness in us that he wants to transform. We need to agree with him about ourselves, and that his death, proved to be true because he rose again from the dead, can offer us new life, eternal life. Life better now and life lasting with him forever. So what is love? Well, many people would say it is an emotion, a state of mind, a feeling. Well, for God, love means giving. Giving his son at great cost to death so that others might live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And reading these words of Jesus means that we must ask ourselves, have I seen my need of God's love? Have I come to him believing in what he has done? Do I see my need to share in Jesus' life with others? And if I have, am I inspired afresh to live my life in serving him and helping others to discover this amazing love that we all need? Well, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these amazing words that point to such a remarkable reality that you love people even though we turned away from you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his death on the cross. And we pray that you would open our hearts afresh to your love. Whatever our knowledge or experience of you has been, help us to see more of your love, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.